Good morning. Ended up being in a rather interesting week, more ways than one. Started out, I'm on my way back from a great conference in Houston and just got off the plane in Salt Lake City to get the next flight to Portland. And I get this text from Devin and saying, you know, what happened to you, Brad? And so my heart or my mind and heart kind of go immediately into sync of the possibility of possibly filling in for you coming week. And I figured, you know, I was off today, if, you know, I didn't have to work today, so I could, you know, work this out and sort of, okay, what am I going to, you know, focus on, sort of dwelling on throughout the week. And I know that Brad was doing a series on the parables and so on, but yet I believe God's in control of this whole situation is one of the dynamics we're going to be focusing on this morning, is that of trust. And it's a difficult place, even as I experienced that in my role as a chaplain in the hospital, meeting with patients and their struggles and their journeys, whether they have faith or they don't. But I want to just start with a couple of passages of Scripture. First is from Psalm 37. And we can find that on page 449 in your pew Bibles, large print 872. But I want to read some verses from there, and then I'll go to Proverbs 3, which is a very familiar passage. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, many of us have memorized that, you know, numerous times. We can recollect it. We're going to reflect on it this morning, and if you remember the last time I preached here on when pain makes no sense, and we reflected on Job, this sermon I did today was actually a prequel to that one. So since we deal with oftentimes those vocabularies of sequels and prequels, and so today's is a prequel to, you know, when pain makes no sense and dealing with the uncertainties that we face in life. So let's read verses 1 through 8 here in, or 1 through 7 in chapter 30, or Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. And then to Proverbs 3, the first 8 verses. And this is on 949 or 512. Or, I'm sorry, 949 in my Bible, but I mean your pew Bibles is 512 and large print 987. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. This morning, what is leaving you feeling uncertain about the future? Anxious and confused about present events and circumstances that may be happening in your life. For many, it's our health. In this winter, we've seen a lot of sickness and ill health, of flu and so forth, many ending up even in the hospitals, trying to recover from prolonged illness. Some people we know experience one day doing well, as we know Brad experienced last Sunday, and next moment he finds himself in an emergency room trying to figure out what's going on. And we still wonder, you know, what sometimes are the causes behind all this. In our world, we face situations of unending wars and threats of terrorism. We live with a new administration in Washington and all the divergent ideologies that exist within our country about what we think is best for America, what will truly make America great. There are growing economic disparities between rich and poor, leaving many, many people in a very vulnerable and frightening place. There are questions and concerns about what really is true versus quote-unquote alternative facts. And then we think of our own vulnerabilities with life-changing and life-limiting illness and disease that comes our way. Or we may be facing something in our own homes in terms of relationships and the challenges that are faced there. Well, in that we face many distracting temptations as to what to do. We're human beings. We see things rather just within these parameters, and it's hard to see the bigger picture sometimes, especially when we're face to face with something that we know can take us down and can change our lives forever. And worry and anxiety, living in fear amid these uncertainties, can take hold of us. And it's understandable. It's a very natural human tendency to worry. And they can sometimes, these anxieties and these worries can become quite addictive in our own lives. Or there's another temptation where we'll try to resolve things. You know, try to find a way to get things fixed, to make some sense about it all in our lives. We'll somehow saying, well, maybe this happened because I need to learn some lessons, and we rationalize. And that may be true. But we try to somehow make sense of it all in saying, well, what do I do with the loss of job or the loss of my house? What do I do about those emergency expenses that suddenly came, that illness? Let me find some way that will, you know, solve this matter so I can be freed from this anxiety, this concern that exists within me. Maybe I can max out my credit card and at least get by. Maybe dream for a lottery windfall or this infamous knock on the door that you have won the big sweepstakes. Here we have a rich uncle. Or as we face serious illness, to find the right doctor who's got the helpful, most helpful treatment options that come our way. Or as we ponder the direction of our nation, to make sure we have the right people in the White House or the right people in the halls of Congress, to have the right people in the Supreme Court or have the right people in Olympia, even in our local leadership. And we can fixate on that, believing that that's going to solve the problems that we are facing in our lives. And it's very understandable. It's a very human tendency that we have. But God instructs us, don't lean on your own understanding, because it will shortchange us. Sure, we may experience some temporary solutions and to get by. But God isn't asking us to figure things out. He isn't asking us to make sense of it all. You know, I have that tendency too, that if something breaks down in my car or something breaks down in my house, you know, appliance or whatever, I want to go in there and try to figure it out and see if I can fix it myself before I'll call the mechanic or the repairman to come and fix it. And I realized some time ago I was doing this with God. That if I got a problem in my life, I'm going to try to fix it, figure it out myself. To somehow, in my own limited mindset, I'm going to get things until I get to that point that I go, God, help me. Instead of crying out to God right away and helping give me some direction as I work with Him. And I need to remind myself that I don't know everything, and I can't solve everything, and I can't fix everything. I can't figure out what's really best. And oftentimes we become so satisfied with good when God wants to give us the best. And the way to do that is not by leaning on our own understanding and trying to figure things out, but as God gives us the main antidote to worry and anxiety, He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's not an easy thing to do. Because when I look at my heart, I see all kinds of turmoil sometimes. And I don't like it. I want things to work out. I want the car to run properly. I want life to work properly. You know, sometimes, you know, at work too, when, you know, we get inundated by a bunch of, you know, critical events. Whether it's an emergency of someone coming in with a very serious heart attack or at death's door, or just dealing with the crisis of just being in the hospital and they're wondering how they're going to pay their bills because their rent's due and so on. So what do we do? We trust the one in charge. Because God definitely is. That's a fact. Sometimes hard to see that fact. See that reality that there is one who is indeed in charge of this world and this our lives. But this is a heart matter. Because so often as human beings, we want to go into our minds and our thoughts and figure things out. When God simply wants us to meet with us in that space of our hearts, where He says, just come to me. Find rest in me. There are times when I'm with people, you know, in the hospital and they're struggling and they're difficult and are facing difficulties that are just overwhelming them. And I say, let's just go to God and let's just sit in His lap for a while. Let's just let God hold you. And that can only be experienced at a heart level. You see, our hearts is the seat of our being. It is where God wants to meet with us. And this is the most comforting message as we feel anxious and uncertain in life. I remember years ago when I was doing a career change, moving from being a pastor of a church to full-time chaplaincy. And at the time, you know, the word was out that if you were willing to move, you could get a job as a chaplain somewhere. And then my wife and I, as I went into residency, you know, for training for chaplains at Emmanuel Hospital in Portland, and we decided to stay in the area, which limited our prospects. But God gave a sense of peace that He would provide. And it wasn't something that was a part of my thought process. It was something I felt in the depth of my being, that a job would be provided. And at the end of that year, my supervisor came to me and says, "Well, we have a vacancy, and would you fill it for a few months?" And that's the way it went for that whole next year. But I still felt anxiety because I knew that that job, even though extending from what I was doing before, wasn't going away. It would end. And what would I do then? And I remember putting on my screensaver the phrase, "God's in charge." And as you know how we want a screensaver to work, we want that phrase to wobble all over the place. Because my emotions were wobbling all over the place. When I looked at that screensaver, it reminded me again that no matter where I wobbled in terms of my emotions, God was still in charge. That's the assurance we have when God calls us to simply trust Him. But what does it take to trust God? Part of that trust is simply to open up before Him, to let it out. Think of the times when you were in a very difficult space and your emotions were going all over the place, how helpful it was for someone to come along and let you spill out that stuff, and along with the tending tears and distress that came out, and how helpful you found that. It's called, we can do this with God. It's called honest praying. All you have to do is read the Psalms in all its different parts and see that it's got all kinds of emotions. I think the one that we often struggle with is anger. Because there are times in our emotions and our journeys as we deal with the uncertainties and anxieties of life is that we get angry. We're ready to slam God in the face. We're even sometimes in that emotional state. If you are really a God who's in charge, why aren't you taking care of this? Why aren't you resolving this? Why aren't you having pity on me? I know I have different times when I see folks who are at the bedside of someone who is suddenly taken away from them, and they're in agony. Especially when it's a child. Because it isn't fair. From a human perspective, it's downright cruel. But God says, "Come to me. I know what you're feeling. Just let it out. Let it out. Scream at me if you have to. God is there, even in the midst of our total struggle with His even caring. Because God will do whatever needs to be done. It's not always as we want. Sometimes we're left to journey in the pain and the uncertainty. I'm sure for you, Brad and Steph, to realize you have to wait till June to get an appointment with a neurologist. Come on, give me a break. I know that's how it often is in healthcare these days. But we want answers. We want to know what's going on when we're living in this uncertainty, because there's also, you know, when we're dealing with illness or some things where we don't know exactly what's going on, and we want answers, and then we have to wait. Yeah, you know what I'm thinking and feeling in terms of those. And also in those moments when we struggle and have difficulty, is we need God really a lot. And God promises that even when we find it difficult to pray, to let it out, to just spill out our guts before God, and we even find it difficult to do that, God says His Spirit will intercede on our behalf. Because there are times in our faith journey that we will find it difficult to pray. And we say, oh, I shouldn't feel this way. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. Well, even followers of Jesus had that struggle. Even Jesus Himself. On the night before He was crucified, agonized. Father, if at all possible, take this cup from me. Jesus knows that agony. That's what we have. We have a high priest who's able to sympathize with our struggles, with our weaknesses, and what hope that gives us. The other part of trust, which is often difficult, is simply to step back and listen. To just listen. This is hard praying. Oftentimes we identify praying as us talking to God. But to step back and to just get into that place of silence. The psalmist says in Psalm 37, as we heard those words earlier, be still and wait patiently for the Lord. Now, if you're like me, my patience level is, well, it's there, but boy, I'll tell you, if I don't get some response pretty soon, I'm going to start getting a little irritable. And God's instructing us there, saying, wait patiently. If you look at the patience of God, I stand in amazement, because I don't have that kind of patience. To wait for 120 years, when God told Noah to build an ark before the flood came, to give people of that day an opportunity to trust Him, to seek renewal in Him. And we can think of other incidences in the Bible where God waited patiently. Look what how He dealt with the people of Israel and how they would come back to Him and then they'd fall away from Him and then He'd come back. And His heart, you know, we read in Ezekiel and about how He yearns in His being for His people to come back to Him. And we're not talking just about 120 years. We're talking about hundreds of years. And I know I can't even wait a month sometimes. But yet God's encouraging us. He's saying, be still. Step back. And wait patiently. I will take care of you. But sometimes it takes just a stepping back amidst all the turmoil that we're feeling in our beings and all the uncertainties and anxieties and worries to just stop. To get into that space. Quiet myself. and listen to that still, small voice. The trouble is when I've done that, and we call this subcircle called centering prayer, contemplative prayer, and it's a practice where you take a word. You know, somebody might call it a meditation practice, but simply taking a word, whether it, you know, a holy word such as love or joy or peace. Peace is a very big word for me. That when your thoughts are going different directions, as you're quieting yourself, you can come back to that word. Maybe it's just the name of Jesus, that as you think of Jesus, you're centering yourself back. But I know when I do that, man, there's lots of noise going on. You know, this internal noise. And it's hard to sort of, you know, it does take a lot of practice and discipline. And I feel like I'm only in the beginning stages of doing that when I take moments to just reflect and be quiet. And once in a while, God comes through with His still, small voice and says, Lou, I'm here. You're not alone. And sometimes that's all I need to hear. That's all I need to hear. And then finally, as we focus on trusting the Lord with all our hearts, is to act on what God says and directs us to do. You know, I pray, I bring my concerns before the Lord, I you know, yearn and I struggle with God. And yet I have to recognize that God's the best guide we have. It says here, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Or as another translation has it, He will direct your paths. He will be your guide. We'd all love life to be like a superhighway so we can just smoothly get on to where we need to go. But oftentimes we find ourselves on these side roads, and we go, what am I doing here? But God says, trust me. As we are reminded of the familiar words from Jeremiah 29, my plans are to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. One of the things that when I'm interacting with patients, and part of our job as chaplains is to assess what gives them hope and meaning in their lives. What's helping them cope with what they're going through right now. And there's lots of different answers as we think of what gives them hope. And, you know, for many it's faith. For many it's also family is a very integral part. Their support network. Some, you know, it's nature, but all are things that help give hope. And I see God in it all. As God takes people on different pathways and journeys, none of us, you know, we share some parts of the journey together, but some of it can be pretty lonely. And God also says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And sometimes we do find ourselves in very, very dark places. I meet with a patient who's he's been suicidal. But he's looking at his past and he's seeing how deceitful he's been. Not only just to himself, but to his wife and his children. And he's just burdened by this overwhelming sense of guilt and shame. And I know his wife still loves him. His children love him. They want what's best for him, but it was hard for him to see. Even to the point of distress that would lead him to consider taking his own life. He knew the Lord, but still it was a dark space. I remember, I don't know if any of you have ever been to Mammoth Caves in Kentucky, but you get in that big, huge, open area and they turn the lights off. And man, you can't even see your hand in front of your face. It's so dark. And then the ranger taking, you know, what they used to use to light up a cave, you know, light this flame thing and throw it up on a cliff ledge, and how even that little bit of light helps. That's the way it is in life. We have those experiences. It gets dark, and no matter how dark the valley may be, God says, I am with you. As the psalmist responds, I will fear no evil because your rod and your staff are there to guide me. I can't see the rough path, and yet God says, take me by the hand. To me, that is one of the greatest metaphors of faith. I often say to patients, you know, remember when you were a child and you felt scared and how your mom or your dad said, just take me by the hand. We still felt scared, but we also felt a sense of security, didn't we? Someone we trusted that said, yeah, we'll get past this scary dog. That's the way God's with us. He just says, take me by the hand. Sure, we still feel anxious and afraid and concerned. But God says, take me by the hand, and how safe we can feel. The problem is we don't always feel that. I was with a patient the other day, and she had received a diagnosis. She had a bad wound in her hand, and that had become extremely very infected. And part of the infection that she was experiencing was leading to some kidney failure, liver failure. And her prognosis or her outcome in terms of life expectancy was greatly limited. And she told me, she said she had, you know, had triple bypass surgeries some years ago. She had, you know, some other events that happened in her life, and how in those moments she felt God taking her by the hand. She says, I felt God's hand holding mine. And she was in distress this day because she says, I don't feel God's hand. And sometimes life is like that. So we just took time to let those emotions out, to let her share her pain, her struggle at that point. And she asked for prayer, and we prayed. As I held her hand, the next day she was feeling much better, not necessarily because I prayed or so forth, but because she said, I felt God with me today. And how assuring that is, that in these uncertainties, there are times when we feel like God's left us alone, left us to find our way. Only as we still ourselves and wait patiently, we find ourselves held by God. God still says, just trust me. Lean on me. Come to me, all you who are weary. My heart still cries out, do something, God. I want to know why. I want to know now. I want the problems I'm experiencing right now resolved yesterday. But I must simply trust God as I journey along this rocky road, even when I see better paths ahead. Hannah Smith, in her book, Hinds Feet in High Places, a book that's been out a long, long time. But the point she tries to make in there, as she uses the metaphor of mountain goats, you know, that can go up sides of cliffs and, you know, this kind of thing. And if you've ever been in the mountains and seen mountain goats, how you think, whoa. And she says, there's a lot of times when we are finding ourselves, and if you've been hiking and you know you've come upon points in the trail where there ain't much of a trail, and you know, see the loose rocks and it's a long ways down. Even though we see a better path ahead, and we go, why? We say, God, why aren't we over there? And God says, we're getting there. Just hold me by your hand. So who would you rather trust? Who would you rather trust? Our own grand yet limited solutions to the uncertainties that we face in life? We rather, you know, trust God, but with a little help from ourselves. You know, it's like the old phrase, you know, God helps those who help themselves. You know, we know Abraham did that, was saying, well, just take Hagar and have a son with her. That will be the promised heir that God has talked about. Or Moses, who stood at the rock as he's dealing with these disgruntled Israelites, and as they're clamoring and even attacking his leadership. And God had instructed Moses to just speak to the rock. You know, a prior incident, he had beat the rock and the water came forth. And God said, you know, Moses, just go to the rock, speak to the rock, and water will come forth. But Moses, you know, he was dealing with his own internal struggles of anger and frustration with these people. And he lashes out at both the people and takes his staff and beats at the rock. And now that really complicated things for Moses. Because we do that. We say, yeah, we'll trust you, God, but, you know, I'm going to try to help it along. Or do we trust the one who's really in charge? The God of heaven and earth. The God of this big universe, yet the God who invites us to intimately sit with Him. Because the truth is, God reigns. He never, ever has abdicated His throne and never will abdicate His throne. That is a certainty we can count on. Let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you so much for the love and the depth of your presence that you give us. That is there even when we don't feel it. But I pray for anyone this morning that's feeling concerns and anxieties about the future and what it all holds, that you will bring a sense of peace over them. That they may truly know that your arms are around them, caring for them, holding them, keeping them safe. Giving them a peace that even though their emotions are going all over the place, they may always know you're in charge. In Jesus' name, amen.